Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Groundhog Day. Pat Oates is here.
Yep.
Do you believe it's the dumbest thing ever?
Yes.
Yes.
No, without a doubt. What's holding us back as society is this.
No, but there's Cupcake Day. It's also Tater Tot Day today.
Important things.
Yeah.
I would argue more important.
Yeah, yeah. Way better than Christmas. All right, Tater Tot Day, that should be a bigger day.
Groundhog Day.
There's a town making money off that. That's their supply. That's their money.
Yeah. I'm so proud of radio. I love radio.
But
give me a second. Like, when there's a disaster, television will show up with cameras.
Yeah.
We show up with help.
Yes.
I'm so proud of this business. It's days like this, I'm like,
happy Groundhog Day.
Hey, cringeworthy.
And you're also fighting to get that mayor on the phone or whatever. So we got to talk to the guy.
That's right.
Right.
In charge of the town.
1 hour from now, we're going to go live to Manchester.
Hey.
Chuckles will tell us if it's going to be. Yeah, he's going to tell us.
Yes.
Weather people with gear can't tell us if it's going to be cold.
Seriously, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't have Doppler.
Okay. If it's that easy to predict the weather, why don't we just go to him every morning?
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You get a free meteorologist in a hole.
Right. Free.
Free.
It's in the hole.
That little rat works once a year and is mostly wrong.
Yep.
And we just keep going back
to it. We keep going back.
Yeah.
Like, what is it with the human condition we need to do? Let's go to the ground. Huh?
Hey.
Hey.
I like that Phil thinks that the rodent works. It's
that's
my day.
The joke,
he doesn't know it's his day, Phil.
Well, okay. So if you.
Phil is the groundhog.
Okay. Easy.
See, groundhog made folks angry.
Really?
I hate this holiday, too.
It's not a holiday.
I hate that. Okay, well, it's on the calendar.
Well,
so
day.
Before all these fake internet holidays we were talking about, that was printed on calendars.
That's right.
Groundhog's Day.
Now, do you buy a groundhog a gift?
Oh, do you have News 8 on or Channel 3? News 8's live over there now.
Look.
Let's go to Jillian Andrews, who's in Manchester.
Is that really sense?
Hey. We've had recently some New Englanders might actually want to extend the winter, but we will leave that decision up to Chuckles. Now,
it's
the way this popular tradition
Chuckle.
Works
yeah,
is
no
every
power.
Year on February 2nd,
I feel bad
if the groundhog sees his shadow, then winter
no
will continue for another 6 weeks.
Why have the new girl
if the groundhog
it.
Does yep. not see his shadow, we will enjoy an early spring. Groundhog Day dates back centuries to help ease the transition from winter to spring. Here at the Children's Museum,
the
tradition began
the
back in
yeah,
1979.
Yeah, you know what? That's because there's nothing else to talk about.
Yeah.
So, like, she probably started at 5:30. It's like, here I am again in Manchester on Groundhog Day, and now I need to fill another 2.5 minutes.
You can see a hole right there. That's what Chuckles is.
Ruth, can you look up the origins of Groundhog Day?
And please? You can tell she's alone there. Like, everyone shows up 15 minutes before it happens, and then it's just... Gone. So for 2 hours, she's got nobody.
Nothing.
Journalism school for that.
And they're showing footage from last year and years before. Why don't they talk about how this is like Chuckles the 11th?
Right.
Went to the 10th. This thing dies every couple of years, and
right.
they just, all right, now you're Chuckles.
Right.
Or like the Pope, who's your favorite Chuckles? You know what I mean? Like, what's the one that you thought brought the greatest power?
Wasn't there one with one eye?
One yes. eye Chuckles?
There was one eye
one
Chuckles.
One eye Chuckles, yeah.
Chuckles in Manchester has not had a very...
good run.
Yeah.
It's like a curse.
Yeah.
It hasn't had a successful history.
It's most places are like on the 3rd or 4th. We're at 11th.
I think he told us last year most of the groundhogs they get are rescued from like being hit by cars.
Yeah. Yes. If you have a tire track.
So they're all angry and mangled to begin yeah. with.
You know how some people, like, they'll break a hip or a leg, and then they could tell when a weather system's coming?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
what happens to Chuckle.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, my hip's starting to hurt. Oh.
Gets hit by a car, and then yep. all of a sudden he knows what's happening.
Yeah, when half of it's in a wheelchair.
Meanwhile, there's only been one groundhog in Punxsutawney. That's the same groundhog for 177 years or whatever.
No.
That's what they tell everyone.
I know, but
really.
I hate this thing.
Okay.
I hate it.
Punxsutawney. Folks aren't that bright.
He has his own language, AJ.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, groundhog.
Didn't one bite
yes.
Mayor Bloomberg?
Yes.
And one
year.
Bit Mayor Moran.
Yeah, but they've both been bit.
Yeah, they're animals.
Yep.
Right. So this is what they're going
to
do.
Yeah. You bring it up to your ear and says, ooh, fleshy object.
They're animals who have not been held all year, and then suddenly there's a million people, and they're like, this is wrong.
Yeah, they're PO'd. They're like, no, now you want me.
I know.
Right. All year long, I wanted a hug. No.
Think about that. If you're kept in a cage your whole life,
yeah, yep,
and once a day or twice a day you see someone and they throw you some food,
yeah,
and all of a sudden there's a bunch of people around, you're like, I'm freaking dinner today.
There's lights.
Yes. No.
There's lights.
I ain't going down without a fight.
Yeah.
I think the one that Bloomberg dropped died. I think he dropped it, and like a day later it was dead.
Died.
Well, it bit him first, then he dropped it.
Exactly, yeah.
And, by drop, I mean throw.
Yeah, that's a New York thing.
He flung the groundhog.
You bite me, I break your neck.
Thanksgiving turkeys must hate this day, because they're like, ask me if it's going to snow. Right. How about that? I'd like that better than you kill me and eat me and your family.
They're still growing up at this point, because their kin were all eaten.
Ruth, what did you find out?
So according to Wikipedia, the Pennsylvania Dutch were immigrants from German-speaking areas of Europe. The Germans had a tradition of marking Candlemas, February 2nd, as Badger Day, on which, if a badger emerges from its den, encountered a sunny day, thereby casting a shadow, it presaged 4 more weeks of winter.
Did an angel just get wings?
Yes.
Everybody else see another groundhog dying.
A Catholic festival.
Did someone smile?
So weird.
Yeah.
So what we're doing isn't even the original thing. We just made up our own take on another thing.
Yep. Yeah.
A less angry rodent.
Yeah.
And they went from badger to groundhog.
Right, yeah.
And we can handle this one.
We should just get like a town drunk from each town and have them drink all night long. And then at 5 a.m. ask them, what's it going to be like in 6 weeks?
Yes.
And I'm like, snowing. And then like he passes out.
Well, they would know because they're outside the entire time.
Yeah. It'll be interesting because somewhere out there there's life more intelligent than us.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they have the cure for cancer. They have everything.
Yes.
And then they flip on the switch. They're like, hey, are they ready for us yet? Yeah. I'll turn the switch on. What are they doing? No, they're not ready.
They're talking to a road that's almost roadkill.
They're not ready.
Yeah, no.
Okay, 100 years go by. All right, let's flip it on. What are they doing over there?
Same thing.
Okay, they're not ready.
These idiots.
Or the opposite. They're like, they don't realize that they're asking the groundhog the wrong questions. He knows other things.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, maybe
they're like brilliant ruler.
Yes. Maybe
they're using him to tell the weather.
Right. Meanwhile, he knows the cure for cancer. Yeah.
He can end hunger. No.
That's why he's talking gibberish. It's like, you're an idiot.
Somehow, he accidentally gets asked a real question, and it's like, it's like, wait a minute. Why did you tell us this before? Because you've only asked me about spring.
About the weather. Did I see my shadow?
All you had to do was ask.
Right.
We've been trying to warn you for years. We've been biting.
Yeah. You ever look inside their hole? It's solving physics. Quantum leaps and all kinds of crap.
Groundhogs in space.
You're going to ask me if I saw my shadow today. I don't know. Why you ever took a heavy stool to do while you're at it?
We sent you our Albert Einstein of groundhogs, and you're wasting him on this.
Yeah, they had the same hairdo.
It's not Phil, it's physics. That's his name. He knows physics.
Right.
That's right. It's short for physics.
Right. It's short for philosophical.
I'm completely convinced now that that's what's happening.
Yes. Philosophical. For God's sake, I'm Harvard trained. You stuffed me in a hole.
That's right. They send us. It's like, send them the groundhogs, man.
Right.
They're gonna fix the planet.
Right.
It's like we just, once a year. What do you think? Spring? Okay, back at all.
Did you see your shadow? Of course. Something. I'm gonna see my shadow. You have a big spotlight on me.
That's right. That's something we would do.
Yep.
Have you ever poked a camera into the groundhog's den? Like a whole underground network of like computer systems?
Yes!
Predicting, like, here's where the next earthquake's going to be.
They have, like, pencils behind their eyes.
White coats.
Their ears. And
right.
The super volcano will erupt in 2042.
There's Bunsen burners with stuff going off. Their formula to make a rocket fuel.
Predicting every tragedy in the history of the planet.
He's got to pause his UN meeting to tell you if it's going to snow or not.
The Council of Groundhogs.
There's this large computer brain and everything. But no. Let me go see if I didn't see my shadow today.
Just pull one out. Find out 6 weeks till winter.
It's your turn to talk to the humans.
All the other groundhogs are taking bets whether this is a biting year or not.
Right.
He's going to bite him this year. He's going to do it.
He has one more stupid question. I'm going to bite him in the ear.
It's so dumb. But yet we're going to do it. Yep. We're going to talk to Mayor Moran an hour from now because this is what we do.
Yep. Every year.
Oh, yeah. I forgot I made that joke. Sorry. The mayor's the best. Very excited.
Grab that clip. We can play it back in the air. All right. Tom Brady retired.
Segway.
Yeah. Again. Just like Groundhog Day. Yeah. Again.
Yeah.
He did it on the same day. Did you see that?
Yeah.
It was interesting. There's a reason for that, because when you talk about a guy whose entire career has been timing.
Yeah.
Timing a ball at a certain velocity down a field with someone running a certain distance of miles per hour.
Yeah. No.
You don't just say, I'll just pick this random day. You pick that day for a reason.
Yeah, he's trying to warm up the groundhog.
Yeah.
Talk about
the groundhogs are all pissed off now.
Just see Tom Brady retired?
For God's sake.
Once again, we have one day a year.
Yeah. I don't know why. I think this time, though, it's so he could be he could do some pregame on the Super Bowl for Fox.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, he's got the whole news cycle for the rest of the week.
Yeah, which means
no one's talking about the Super Bowl until, like, Saturday of this week.
Yeah. But he's got
the whole
done it,
cycle.
You know, people typically do it after the big game.
Yeah.
There's been, you know, that cycle's gone, and then you come out and say, I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
I think he's doing it specifically now so he could go on Fox pregame.
Yeah, and
for
also,
the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl will be more about him now than the Super Bowl. How's Tom Brady in the booth today?
If he did it next week, I might agree with you. Because he did it this week, I don't think that's...
He's not going to be in the booth.
He calculates.
They're not going to risk that investment with, like, let's put him in the booth for the very first time when 100 zillion people are watching.
No way.
No, they'll do pregame. They'll have him in the pregame.
Or they might do an interview thing where he's not in it, but they talk to
right,
him
where they show
Mahomes and him, and now he's becoming that kind of guy type deal.
And isn't he getting like $375 million
for 10 years?
Jeez.
Yeah, don't feel bad for Brady. He got a little emotional in his video. People are like, I feel bad. Don't feel bad for him.
Right. I'm leaving one rich job for another rich job.
He's going to be fine.
For that much money, though, he should have to do play-by-play on the flag football thing this weekend. He should have to do it.
I don't think he'll stay there 10 years. I think he'll do a couple years and then he'll go into coaching, because then he could get more rings and he could make more numbers. His whole life has been about statistics and numbers
and shiny objects.
And now he's going to call games that it doesn't matter if he's calling it or not. It's what's the matchup? That's what gets the ratings. Is it a rivalry playing? That will get you numbers.
He's still young enough where he could do that in 10 years. You could sit there, you could build your name up. Like, Bradshaw's very happy sitting there making the money doing it. He could still have the hot model ladies from every other country for 10 years and then go coaching once he hits the wall a little bit.
Yeah, once he's eating to build a gut.
Yeah,
I don't think he'll last 10 years. But now Greg Olson, he has a problem because he's in the number one seat of Fox Sports.
Yeah.
So now the conversation is, what happens to this guy? Because he's been doing pretty good.
Right.
He's been great. Yeah, not all players that turn analysts do well. He's been doing pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, he went to a Super Bowl, didn't win a Super Bowl.
Cowboys do well.
Unless you're Jason Witten.
He wasn't as good as all those guys, but most Cowboys do well.
And for some reason. Yeah, it's funny. Brady loses to the Cowboys. He's like, you know what? I'm done.
I lost to the Cowboys!
Right, yeah.
That's it!
Yeah,
the only almost walked the traffic.
Yeah, so let me go take a Cowboys job.
Yeah.
Tom, go!
All right, so we have the audio, then we'll go to a break here.
Good morning, guys. I'll get to the point right away. I'm retiring for good. I won't be long-winded. Like, you only get one super emotional retirement essay, and I used mine up last year, so.
Yeah, good. Yep. Like that was perfect. Perfect way to start it and do it short, because we all went through this already.
Yep.
The Gronk response was great. He goes, I gave you my emotional goodbye last year, so welcome to the two-time retired club.
It's an old friend of ours. He was a friend day one.
He was.
When we came here.
It still is.
And we didn't know how it was going to go.
Right.
And I thought, well, you know, probably the first year will be the most hated show in Connecticut.
Exactly.
Maybe the second year, people start to like us.
I applied for a job at his place. You remember, don't you?
No, but Rob was one of the very early supporters of the show 20 years ago. Rob Leonard, New England Brewing Company,
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Oh, man. Thanks for bringing beer.
Seriously.
And right. It's cold.
I love it.
Right. And it is cold. It's ready to go.
Just keep in your trunk.
How long have you been making beer in Connecticut?
31 years. And I've owned New England Brewery for 20, so
wow,
21.
Happy oh,
so
you.
We started at the same time.
Nice.
Same
happy
time. Anniversary.
Yeah. That's
happy
why you were here. Yeah, kicked this crap off.
And yeah. I started after my internship at PLR.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so you did an internship yeah, here with the other morning show?
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Guys. And were you making beer then?
As it was right after there. My friend was working at New Haven Brewing, and he asked if I can help out, so I put empty bottles on a conveyor belt. For $6 an hour.
Right.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
And never left.
And so New Haven Brewing became New England?
No, New Haven was Elm City. They had Elm City Connecticut Ale, Blackwell yeah. Stout.
Okay.
New England was in Norwalk. So they both started around the same time in the late 80s.
Huh. Were they the first two breweries in Connecticut?
I would think so.
I mean, for a craft beer. Because
yeah.
didn't we have Hulse?
Oh, Hulse, yeah.
Yeah, Hulse was New Haven.
In 77, that closed down.
Yeah, wasn't it getting water off of some, like, spring in New Haven or something?
That's, I think, came from Vermont. And I don't know the story, but yeah.
Yeah. Like if you know, call it in. There's a lot of beer history in this state, by the way.
The harbor water went down a little bit.
I hope not that one.
Yeah.
This tastes funny.
This tastes like Long Wharf.
I found a fish.
Has a similar smell. No, but Hulse beer was one of those. It was like Schaefer or Pabst.
Yeah.
It was one of those low-end beers, but it was great.
Yep.
Like, it cost nothing, and it was great.
They did all the styles, too. They had porters, stouts, and everything.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and then, you know, the big guys came over, and people just kind of forgot about those, and it was just that light Pilsner.
Huh. I wonder, so would that be considered the first Connecticut craft beer, Hulse, or not really?
I don't think they called it craft.
Craft.
It was a regional brewery. They were pretty right. big.
What's the difference between a regular beer and a craft beer?
I think craft beer is more independently owned. We're making the different styles.
Tastier.
Yeah. I think all beer is good. But.
So, all right. So you're cleaning bottles at a brewery. How do you go from that to actually making the beer?
It was just, I did it well. I kept showing up, put the bottles on straight. And then I was asked to come and help in the brew house to clean out the mash tun, doing chores like that, washing tanks down, washing kegs. And I didn't know this industry existed, and I loved it. So I just stayed with it and became the head brewer there and then started brewing in other places in New England and had an opportunity to be the head brewer.
So you were a head brewer at one place, and then you went around and helped other places while you were doing?
Oh, either other jobs. I was consulting for a little bit where I was brewing in Massachusetts and Saratoga, New York.
Wow.
Any places that we would recognize?
I think one is Cape Cod Brewing, but it wasn't at that. It was Hyannis Brewport at that time.
Okay.
But they're still going. Place in Saratoga might be closed. Trying to think. John Harvard's Brew House, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, John Harvard's, yeah.
Oh, you heard of that?
Yeah.
I did there, one there, one. There was one in Manchester.
Yeah,
there
was one.
Yeah, Long Island.
Was at the Manchester and the Westport.
They had a raspberry red I loved.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Phil?
There's an article written a while ago about Hulse, and apparently they got their water from the legendary Lost River that was underneath the brewery site.
The Lost River, yes.
I was right.
And it came from the hills of New Hampshire originally.
Wow.
I said Vermont.
That's wild.
You were close.
Isn't that wild?
We'll give you partial credit. Yes. They're next to each other,
yes.
Rob.
The Lost River.
Now, is that real, or is that some story they made?
Yeah, the Lost River is called Tap.
When I grab a bottle, pull a bottle, pull and spring, I'm like, this didn't come from a spring.
Yeah, the Lost River of Fawcett.
I am getting this from the Hartford Courant. I'm assuming they do their fact checking.
Wow. Well, that's what Hulse claimed, but did anyone go and see this Lost River?
Right.
And
it's lost. It was a secret.
It's how lost.
How is it lost? Is it underground?
Right.
I like how someone found it. They're like, all right, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Building a brewery right here.
Yeah. We traced the origins of the river right over here where this downspout from a factory comes out. This is roof water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, we all drank it.
Yeah.
And we loved it.
All still here.
Rob Leonard, owner of New England Brewing Company here. So when do you start New England Brewing Company? Was it 20 years ago?
It was 20 years ago. I was working for New England Brewing in Norwalk, and they were in the process of selling the company. They wanted to get out of the business, and that was my job. So I finagled a way to get the brand name, and I sold all their equipment, and I got a loan, and I bought a.
Why would you sell their equipment?
It was way too big, and I was going to move it. I wanted to be up in the New Haven area.
Right, okay. Make it more user-friendly.
Much smaller operation that I can manage.
Yeah.
And
how old were you?
I was 32? 32, 33 at that point.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what I was getting into. It was a long struggle. Nobody wanted the beer when I made it.
Everyone thought you were crazy.
Yeah, that's funny. But no one's around you now, I bet you.
The third person to put it in cans, talk about being crazy. No one understood what I was doing, but it's such, everyone does the cans.
What do you mean, third person?
Third craft brewery in the country. It was a new thing.
In the country to put it in a can.
Yeah. All craft was bottles back then.
Yeah.
You were getting bottles or like the big mags or something like that. They did different bottles to make it seem like it was more made at home, because all the canned stuff was the big macro.
I remember, like most breweries, they started with the jugs.
Yeah, the growlers.
Yeah, the growlers.
That's good. There's a
whole
time, yeah.
Right. And then Sam Smith started bringing those out and stuff like that, so people started going for the glass so you could see the craftsmanship of the beer.
Right.
But the can was always cool. Made his beer. He put it in, you know.
You could float a bottle cap on it.
Metal steins.
Yeah.
They thought I was crazy.
Yeah.
But your designs were always cool.
Yeah, we had fun with that.
Yeah.
But the can is the best way to go. It was a small can thing that I can actually afford. The cans were 10 cents a piece. Bottling lines were $500,000. I couldn't afford that.
And ooh,
everything. So we canned by hand for 10 years.
By hand?
Two at a time, seamed them in a machine, and then ringed them in six packs.
Oh, man, you're an Amazon guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Jeff Bezos was on the floor,
ground floor,
he had tables.
Yeah.
Just taping boxes, putting books in boxes.
Success story.
By hand.
Yeah.
That's test for leaks. Wild. And this is before anyone cared. Like, no one really was like, hey, I got to go get a craft beer.
Yeah.
No. They're like, Budweiser.
Doing two at hand at a time. Are you doing two for you, two for me?
One for me.
The Bugs Bunny counted.
Yeah. A couple of cans were crooked.
Two for you, one, two for me.
Oh, this one's got a leak.
All day doing 80 cases.
Right.
And then, like, we do that now in a half an hour, even less.
Wow.
Not quicker.
80 cases.
Man.
Can seems to be the preferred method now.
Yeah, it blocks out all the light. It's the freshest way you can get. It's like a small keg of beer.
Nice.
No light, no air is getting in there.
And the art on it, it's way better than what you could do.
Yeah, you get the whole
bottle.
Yeah.
Very thoughtful.
And you had to change the one of the names of your most popular
beer.
It's called the G-Bot now.
Yeah, the Gandhi Bot.
Yeah.
I'll say it as loud and clear. Gandhi Bot is what it should be. Yeah.
That was a butt-kicking beer, too.
It still is.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Yeah, I'm like, whoa.
When did you first get some idea that it was going to be a problem?
Oh, that was overnight. It was out for 5 years, and we were making not a lot of it because we couldn't get the hops that we wanted. So the first time, I think we could only make it four times a year. The second time, it was once a month it was coming out. So it was a popular beer, people looking forward to it. And it was one morning. It was right after New Year's. The Facebook page was flooded, and there was news cameras there, and the bands were there. And I'm like,
really?
What is happening? Yeah, but
like, what's going on?
Someone
in India
found the can.
Yeah.
Oh, someone in India.
Yeah, so we're getting all these letters, death threats from India.
Death threats.
Probably
because, you know, Gandhi was all about death threats.
Yeah.
Civil disobedience.
A peaceful
That's
man.
The way to honor his name.
Yeah.
Threaten death.
Kill you, yes.
Wow. Okay, well, they were rightfully upset, whatever, but, you know, maybe death threats, not the way to go. Right. But anyway, so got
G-Bot
your attention.
Works. Yeah, G-Bot works.
One night, it was like a switch flipped.
Yeah, and for the next 2 weeks.
Yep.
If I waited two more days, I think people would have forgotten about it, but it was a lot of pressure. I had young guys working for me.
I have a feeling they wouldn't have went away.
No.
I think you did the right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just fix it.
Yeah, you should have changed it to like the Mother Teresa Pale Ale or something like that. That would have worked out better.
Right. Yeah, no problem right there. She loved it.
Other figures. Yeah, let's just name other people that
were just
treasured.
Wonderful people that all wanted peace.
Right. Well, how did you come up with that name?
That's a great story. My friend Craig, who does most of our artwork, pretty much all of our artwork, he was our creative guy. We said, hey, we have a double IPA that's coming out. We need a name for it.
Double IPA.
So he goes.
Were there any double IPAs out there then?
No, this is like one of the first ones in Connecticut.
Yeah, that's cool.
Is that why it's so potent?
That's cool. Yeah. It's like, you know what? This IPA is great. You know what would make it better? Double it.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to see two of you.
I love it, man.
Yeah. Do you want a chocolate fudge cake or do you want a double chocolate fudge cake?
That's double chocolate fudge cake.
Craig was asking, like, are you going to can it? I said, yeah. He's like, okay, Gandhi Bot. I'm like, how did that happen? How did that roll out of your head? He's like, I was thinking India, Gandhi, can, metal, robot. I'll have an image for you later. So he did Gandhi doing the robot.
That's funny.
Did you drug test him and then say thanks?
I need you to fill another container for me.
Pat, the artist? We're not going to drug test the artist.
No,
okay?
So it's an Indian pale ale. Right, so, okay, Gandhi.
Right.
Can, metal, robot.
Right.
Kevin doing the robot.
Right.
Metal.
And then we went through that phase of, oh, we can't do that. We can't call it that. No, we can't. Like, why not?
That's a couple beers.
It's a tribute to Gandhi. Right. We're going to immortalize him as a robot.
How many years ago was that?
That was 2009,
10. Okay. Back when the world was mellow.
Exactly right.
Like Gandhi.
Right. He's pretty mellow.
He was very mellow.
Right. It's just the name.
Just the name.
Yeah. And that image, by the way.
Oh, iconic.
Iconic.
Yep.
It's iconic. Yeah. George in Brantford.
Hey, this is for Rob. Hey, Rob, George here. I have a question. I understand you're opening up in a new place with bands and everything that's going to be on the water. I thought maybe you could talk about that a little bit.
This sounds like an employee.
Or guy of one of the bands.
Or your lawyer.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. Always a fan.
Yeah, we've been needing to expand for about 5 years, and we've added each year a couple more tanks into the brewery, and to the point the walls are going to bust open. So we have been looking at a spot in West Haven right on the water. It just takes a lot of time. So we've been
permits and all that.
Yeah. And town regulations. And we
did you get the property yet or no?
We have all the approvals. It's right next door. It's the conference center right next door.
Okay. I was going to say, but I know where it is. Yep.
Holy crap.
Yep.
The conference center.
Yep. So that'll come down. That's the plan. And
good for you, man.
Something there.
But I'm happy for you.
That's a great location.
Thank you.
Great location.
That's bad.
I'm not announcing it yet.
That's a great location.
Some things can change.
Yeah. No, the headline here is it might happen.
Yes.
The mayor announced it last November, so it's been over a year in the works.
Okay.
Nice big parking lot.
We didn't announce it yet.
Our car club used that parking
lot. You have everything there that you need.
No, the view is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah, you walk out back, beautiful.
George, very good.
Very nice, man.
We wouldn't have been able to pull this out of Rob.
No, not thank at you. All.
George, your band can play there.
Thank you, random person.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, first on the list, so thanks. All right, guys, listen, appreciate it. Big fan.
Thank you. Holy crap.
That's cool.
So how close, if you were to predict, what do you think, next spring?
If all goes well and we get the second round of plans in front of everybody by March, and everything goes well, we can maybe start digging in the summer, fall.
Cool. Oh, you're digging.
Yeah. But the shovel in the ground. So
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's digging.
Yeah, ceremonial thing. Yeah.
Okay. No, but I mean, you're not going into an existing structure.
No, that'll have to come out.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That'd be a lot bigger.
Yeah, and plus it's kind of dated anyway, that building.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
bigger.
Very exciting.
Wait, you'd be bigger than the conference center?
Yeah.
That is very
holy
exciting.
Crap.
Yeah. They got room, yeah.
Beers more important.
How much
than
are you charging for these beers?
For you, nothing.
That's great. No, good for you, man. You've worked. Here's a guy who was canning the beers himself,
right,
all friggin' day, and now good for you.
Nice, very nice. Success story.
Good for you.
It's awesome.
Good for you.
Good for you.
Good for you.
Good for you.
Hey, good for you.
Yeah, just don't name it anything controversial, okay? So they can open the place.
Yeah, that's good. Yes. Yeah, stick with your name.
Right.
Going on brewery.
So Jesus Canning Company.
Jeez.
I got a text from Andrew over at Mill Pond. He said, "Chaz, we finish our cattle with spent brewer's grain beer. I'm looking for more local if New England has extra." So is this a thing that people finish their steaks off with this?
Oh, it's a great thing. It's a symbiotic relationship. So when we're done with the spent grain, it's the malted barley that we mill. It goes into the mash tun. We add the hot water. We get that extract.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we brew with. When we're done, we have to get rid of that grain.
Like the grounds,
so,
yeah.
So instead of hiring a dumpster company to take it away, farmers love it. They feed their cattle. So it's always been a great relationship.
Oh. Right.
They get free food. I get it taken away.
The cows used to catch now because they're all drunk.
I was going to say.
They love it.
That's the best steak.
Do they get
up
drunk?
On beer.
It happened once when I was at New Haven Brewing. The old farmer Bert came in all angry. He's like, "What's going on? My cows are bumping into each other." And like, I said, "How long are you holding it? Because it will start to re-ferment, but the wild yeast in the air is like, a couple weeks." I'm like, "No, we got to give it to him right away."
One just came on to me. What's going on here?
I've been around a couple drunk cows, so I get it.
But at the time, there's no alcohol in it at that time. But if there is some sugar, there's yeast in the air.
Right.
Because, you know.
So your best beer is in my view, is the G-Bot. Have you had one that you thought, okay, it looked good on paper, but man, this one didn't?
No, we have a pilot batch, a pilot brewery that we do little small batches in, and I don't want to sound like a jerk, but they all do really well.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
You've been doing it for a while.
Yeah, you didn't try out the chocolate chip cookie beer.
have you shut down any ideas by anybody else? Like someone else is like, let's do a strawberry cheesecake. Like,
right. Cheetos beer.
Right. Some of the ideas that you shot down.
Well, we shy away from the stunt brewing. Like there's no sugar rim glasses and stuff. But the David Lee Roth beer, that's got a ton of stuff in it. It's delicious. Cool.
Yeah, it makes you want to jump.
That's a great tagline. Yeah.
That is.
Jump!
That is.
We have the Imperial Stout. There's peanut butter and chocolate in that. It's about as crazy as we'll go.
That one's incredible. That's my favorite is the Imperial Stout. That's
awesome. Oh, is that right?
Awesome. There. Ooh, awesome.
Right, Phil, that's got your name on it.
The force is with you,
man. Like a dessert.
The G-Bot. Nice.
Yeah, especially this time of year. Like, there's just something about that beer. Just it tastes better in the winter months.
And it's not David Lee Roth. Right.
David Lee.
Yeah, David Lee.
David Lee Roth.
Right.
We'll say it's not a stormtrooper on the front of the thing he just held up. It's got a nose on it and stuff. He dances in the loopholes.
You should make a soup, David Lee Roth.
Rob Leonard, beer genius, New England Brewing Company in Woodbridge. And we'll link up on the radio station website a week from tonight, the dating game and the newlywed game.
Awesome.
Great way to
it's fun.
Work your way into Valentine's Day week there.
Right.
Real fun place. So thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Yes. Happy anniversary to you guys.
Thank you.
And to you as well.
He's a Connecticut filmmaker. He's heading into space with other artists on the Dear Moon mission to the moon.
Whoa.
Good morning, Brendan Hall.
Good morning. Good to be here, guys.
So you started out as a photographer. You got a camera at a real young age, and you took this to the extreme. You know, someone says, oh, get pictures of people ice fishing. He drills a hole in the ice, sticks a stick in the ground, puts his camera in the water, and gets pictures of fish. I mean, this guy, it's like you ask him to do something, and it comes back 50 ways beyond what you asked for.
Yep.
So he gets into this real fancy art school, all this stuff, and then you're taking pictures of... Anyway, how do you get to blast off into space? How did that happen?
Oh, man. Yeah, I wish it was an easy answer, but it came from making films for many years. I mean, you said it so well, but I work now as a documentary filmmaker. I'm a director, cinematographer, and editor, and I just got really passionate about it since I was 12. And so I've been filming everything I can from, like you said, ice fishing to documentaries. I filmed skateboarding a lot when I was younger.
Awesome.
And then that turned into just loving nature filmmaking, and everything that's happening now. So it's pretty surreal.
Hey, Brendan, here's a little moon training for you. Can you move that mouthpiece over on the phone into your mouth? That's going to be important when you're on that rocket. You're going to want them to hear what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Perfect. Thank you.
Good deal.
Okay, so do you get a phone call? Do you submit yourself for this process? How does this happen?
Yeah, so it was kind of on a whim. I just saw it online one day on an article, and it seemed kind of too impossible to be true, and I just put in my name in an application. So it was an open call.
For MZ, space?
Who's leading this mission. An open call for space. Wow. Yeah. MZ's dream
crazy.
For anyone to be able to apply, any creative person, any kind of artistic person. And I just saw it. Yeah, I just saw it one day.
A Japanese billionaire is funding this on SpaceX. So he's going up, and he's bringing a bunch of artists with him.
Nice.
And so he's like, hey, any artists want
to
come up? And
he's on Craigslist. He's like, who wants to go to space?
Right. Don't actually answered it.
And then I read somewhere that the questions that you were being asked were a lot of, like, personality questions.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. It's true. A lot of character, you know.
Character,
I think they wanted to learn who we were just as much as the kind of art we create, which I valued. It meant a lot to me, you know, because it takes a lot of trust to want to strap into a rocket with somebody and another crew. So I really wanted to know the people I go with. I didn't take the decision lightly. So
the SpaceX rocket is different than the
Starship.
The Blue Horizon, right? The Blue Horizon, you just kind of walk into a capsule and it goes up. The SpaceX, are you guys going to be doing anything, or that's all remote?
It's still to be determined. So I totally trust them in the process, and it's still some time out as they develop it. But what I know is we're not hired to be pilots.
Good.
It's very much going to be flown. It's going to be autonomous in a lot of ways, from what I understand.
It's a little training.
It's called a Starship.
There's got to be training.
A form of training. Months of training, most likely. Yeah.
Yeah. It just won't be. This is what happens if this circuit board goes out.
Right. I want to know that. I want to know that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, fun fact is that they haven't set our training schedule, but they even do, like, survival training on some other missions. So when you're touching down to Earth, say you land in a forest instead of the ocean, you might have to learn how to survive for a couple days. So you get trained in all sorts of stuff I can't even imagine just yet. So
it is the funniest thing. Like, I'm a kid of the Apollo generation.
Yeah.
And that thing would just, like, come firing through the atmosphere. And then it was like, well, we think it's going to land somewhere around here in the ocean. Yeah. We'll put a couple ships out there.
Right, with catchers.
It's just such a cowboy event.
It was.
You know, and still now you're doing training. It's like, well, if it lands in the forest.
Right,
yeah.
You know, bring your long pants, yeah.
But Elon Musk, I was reading, said that this thing is ready. It's like, you know, it's basically ready, and by the end of this month should be good.
Wow.
So do you guys?
It's coming up.
Yeah. Do you guys even have a date?
It's going to be the largest rocket launch ever is in the next couple months. There's never been a rocket built that's this large. The estimated projection for our mission is 2023, but they're still kind of figuring that out. But I'm looking forward to the orbital launch. That's a huge moment that a lot of people don't know about. You know, this stuff's happening so fast. So
wait, the rocket that you're going to be on is the largest rocket, or the one that's...
Yeah, so Starship. So SpaceX is testing it. They're going to launch from Earth in orbit around the Earth with no crew and then land it back on Earth. And so that's happening in the next couple months, potentially. And like I said, it's going to be the biggest rocket launch in history.
So they didn't do this already?
They didn't test it out?
They're testing the fuel. They've done some low flight tests, but this is the first kind of orbital test.
What did they do when they dumped the Tesla into space? Remember that? Like they, was that a satellite? Was that a giant satellite? They brought the car into space and just
Elon's
let it go.
Car right up there.
Yeah.
Yep. It's in deep space right now.
With the top down.
Right. Yeah. If you see a shadow and shape of a car, get out of the way.
How are you going to feel if this this rocket's going up and it just goes, you know, just disintegrates?
Right.
You're going to be like, hey,
he'll be dead.
Right.
Oh, you mean the test one?
No, the test one. Test.
If you're watching the test one.
What question is this?
Yeah. If you're watching the test one.
It's totally possible.
Right.
I've heard that the explosions are pretty terrifying, but also kind of an amazing thing to witness in their own way. And I think it all comes down to SpaceX's mentality. They actually embrace those kinds of mistakes, because if they are able to make that mistake, then they know kind of every scenario that could happen.
That's a good way to look at it.
Ideally, there's no explosion. You know, if it goes well, that's a huge milestone. But if it does explode or have some issues, that's actually, it's embraced in its own way.
Wow. So. Brendan Hall is on. He's a filmmaker, photographer from Connecticut, and he's going to go up on the first civilian space launch to the moon. Now, you're not going to land on the moon. You're going to kind of circle it. What are you going to do?
Cruise the moon, right?
We're going to orbit the moon.
Wow.
It's about a seven-day trip.
Right.
Wow.
I'll report back on that part of it.
Thanks.
I can't tell you.
Yeah. That's what we want to know. Is this all real? Yeah. Is it really there?
I'll be answering those questions first.
One of you should moon the moon.
So your role on this is just to take pictures, to photograph it, to tell the story.
Document it.
Yeah, as a filmmaker. So it's an inside perspective, and I really want to show kind of the transformation we undergo. You know, we're already, our lives are so different. My life feels very different than it was even a couple of months ago with the global announcement for all of this, and I just can't even imagine once we're up there. So it's just kind of taking my filmmaking that I'm working on here on Earth and seeing how I can apply it up there. And
you should be recording yourself now as you're doing this interview.
It's part of the documentary.
Like, this is part of the documentary. I'm talking to radio people that I normally wouldn't even give 5 seconds to.
Right,
on the phone with 10 minutes.
I can't say I'm not. I've been recording this whole process, both for my own memories, but also that project. So it's been special to have that.
Have you had any anxiety about this at all? Have you thought, this could be, you know, my last adventure or whatever?
Yeah, you're going to space, bro.
I mean, it's dangerous.
Crazy.
Not everyone has done it, and you'll be in a history book, by the way. Either way, yeah, we'll whether it goes well or not, you're right. In the history book.
Yeah. Yeah. The first civilians ever in deep space. I mean, I can't even wrap my head around it. But, yeah, I mean, I took months when making the decision. I was in a selection process that took a year of interviews, in-person interviews. They looked at my work. They talked to me in depth about a lot of different things, gave me a medical examination. And so I was thinking really seriously. I didn't take it lightly, but I still think this is the most kind of incredible thing I could do with my life and my time, and I'm in for it. I totally trust in the safety of the rocket, but I also take those risks on knowing that with my filmmaking, I just couldn't imagine a better way to try to use my voice, you know, and have a meaningful experience. So I'm just grateful. Grateful every day.
So SpaceX hasn't gone this far into space yet?
No. No civilians have ever gone to right. deep space.
They've done the practice landing thing to make sure it lands in the right spot, but no one in it.
Yeah, but so no one... So they haven't sent anything out this far yet?
They've got a lot of tests to do, you know, and I'm assuming that they will, although I'm not sure of the timeline. But, I mean, NASA just did their Artemis 1 mission. So they sent an uncrewed vessel, which isn't the one we're flying, but they just sent a vessel around the moon, which is pretty incredible. So that's happening. And Starship is developing now. It's the same ship that's going to land NASA's Artemis mission, Artemis 2. Is going to orbit, but Artemis 3 is going to use Starship, actually, to land on the moon again. So that's something else to look forward to, probably in the next 5 or 10 years. So.
How long is a flight?
Great question.
three days. Well, 3 or 4 days.
Okay, is that 10 minutes of the other guys?
Yeah, that's I got to tell you, know, whatever. It's, yeah. You know, that was interesting to watch.
I wouldn't
and
do
all
one,
that.
But yeah.
But, Brendan, didn't you think that was like fake space, wasn't it? It was like a deep, like, airplane ride, don't you think?
Yeah.
3 days.
Yeah. I mean, you're going into space. That Jeff Bezos thing was like, yeah. We went beyond the clouds, and now we're coming back.
You have to eat astronaut food.
It is some real space. It's not just 3 minutes. It's 3 days. Yeah. We go around the dark side of the moon. We may see Earth rise. Wow. It's the whole deal.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't even believe it, you know. I try to wrap my head around it every day. And like I said, it's just all gratitude for me.
So you've had zero training, like nothing. No, like, here's a pamphlet. Why don't you read this stuff?
Right.
Nothing. Not at this stage. So, I mean, we've spoken with SpaceX, and we're kind of well in tune with some of the operations and things. But in terms of a training regimen, that's going to be developed a little closer to flight time. With rocketry, it takes some time.
You know? When I'm fixing something at the house, I will Google a video. What have you been Googling?
I've been Googling everything. I've been reading things. I've talked to some former folks involved, actually, in the Apollo program and some of the astronaut programs. And so that's what's pretty cool is it kind of gives me an excuse to go talk to people that are really interesting and figure out what their experiences are.
What have you learned?
So,
like, do you get constipated in space? Do you, like, can't eat in space? Like, do you get nauseous?
Don't look down.
Right.
I haven't learned as much about the constipation just yet or lack of, but
space poop,
you know, mostly mostly just the emotional side, to be honest, of figuring out kind of what it takes to build your life around something like this and get prepared for it, and kind of learning about the character traits and the ways other people have approached this are really interesting to me.
See,
you know, there's like a NASA astronaut, Alan Bean, who's an artist, and he actually made paintings after going up and seeing the moon, and that sort of stuff's fascinating to me.
We talked to him, Alan Bean. He's been on.
Yeah. Good people.
Amazing.
Brendan Hall is on, a filmmaker, photographer, Connecticut resident, going out into space.
Yep, literally.
See, I remember I was getting surgery, and they put that thing on your face, and they're like, hey, count to, you know, 5 or 100 or whatever.
Jump
on
backwards.
And all I kept thinking when I saw that mask come on my face is like, because the trick isn't to put you under. The trick is to get you back.
Yeah, right.
That's what you get paid to do, because I could put you under.
Yes.
But I won't be able to bring you back. As I'm going out, I'm like, this could be it. This could be the last thing I see.
Right.
Good night.
Before angels.
And I couldn't even imagine going, you know, getting into a rocket. When I watch the rocket launches, I see the people walking on the platform. I'm like, here's your balls. Once the door is locked, you don't have a choice. But right now, you could turn around.
Yeah, I would.
Like, I've done this on roller coasters. Yep. I've gotten to the top. I'm like, I'm going to do the walk of shame. I can't do it.
Yep, I don't care. I don't care. Go in the car.
All right, it's a lot of balls.
Yeah.
I give you a lot of credit.
Yeah, man.
I appreciate that.
Is your family and friends all freaking out that you're going?
Oh, they're freaking out. Yeah. And some of my friends didn't even know. I was able to tell my close family, close friends, but there were people in my life who had no idea this was going on because we had to keep a level of secrecy. Yeah. I actually kept a secret for a year before the global announcement. So I had a bunch of people calling me saying, "You're doing what?" Like, yeah. I've seen you this year, you know.
Any ex-girlfriends they're calling up like, supportive. "Hey, are you single still? Space boy?"
No ex-girlfriend calls yet, but I know my current girlfriend's been very supportive, you know, with my family and her. We've talked through the risks, talked through all that stuff, and yeah, it's exciting. You know, I'm just along for the ride.
And she can't cheat in 3 days.
You'll have a new nickname called Rocket Man.
it's a very short trip.
It's going to be a good thing.
We got to keep tabs on you. I want to talk to you a couple more times before you go. So you don't even have a date yet.
Not yet. You know, end of 2023 is the rough estimate, but with kind of the nature of all this stuff, delays happen all the time. So we're just kind of staying tuned. But I'd love to be back, guys. It's great to talk to you.
Oh, yeah. No, I love your story because you just found a camera. You got a camera. You found that it was what you were meant to do. And then that's all you did. And you got so good at it that of all of the people,
a lot of people
who applied to be part of this, they looked at your work, they talked to you and said, "You're the one."
Yep.
Pretty impressive, man.
Right stuff.
Yeah. Good for you.
Get the right stuff.
Don't waste it on a TikTok dance, please. Yeah. Don't do anything like that.
Well, I think that's, you know, that's the more meaningful message of all this. It's just chase whatever you're passionate about.
Because
it wasn't even just filmmaking. It was finding nature, finding travel, telling the stories of people in nature. And if I hadn't taken kind of a leap to chase that dream and start doing that, I wouldn't have had to work the show and the voice the show. And I never thought I'd go to space or even imagine going to the moon. So that's what I think is kind of a cool message, is your dreams aren't quite as far out as you might think they are. So
awesome, man. Thank you very much. We're linking to your stuff on the radio station website. Talk to you soon.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.